That's teacher leadership, right? Yeah. It's not only being an excellent instructor and inside your own room, but also disseminating and sharing those practices in your building, at seminars, at conferences, that kind of thing.
Welcome to Hallway Conversations. We're a trio of educators who have plenty of questions about teaching and learning and school culture, and we believe in the value of reflection and collaboration as we seek to keep growing as teachers. This podcast is our place for thinking out loud together about issues in education and why they might matter to Christian educators. Welcome to the conversation.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 107th episode of the Hallway Conversations podcast. My name is Matt Beemers.
I'm Abby DeGrow.
And I'm Dave Mulder.
Friends, we want to thank our sponsors at CASE, the Center for the Advancement of Christian Education. To learn more about the different ways that CASE can support your school board, your leadership team, teachers, or community, we encourage you to visit their website at www.case.org. Also, the Dort Masters of Education program will be hosting a free webinar on Wednesday, March 27 at 7 o'clock Central Time with Dr. Owen Webb on restorative practices and school culture. We'll put a link in the show notes so that you can register and join us, and we ask you to invite your friends as well. Finally, if you have a suggestion for a podcast topic, we'd love to hear from you, so send us any suggestions to hallwayconvospod@gmail.com. That's hallwayconvospod@gmail.com. Dave and Abby, before we begin, we're recording this just after we got back from spring break, so calling a bit of an audible here. Something that was good for your mind, rest for your mind, your soul, your body, just something that brought you joy. Can you just share a little insight about what that looked like?
Good check-in. It's coming back from spring break. Well, I'll just tell a little bit of our story, maybe, if that's okay. Good, So Matt and I were part of a group of 10 Dort faculty who went to Southern California for 5 days. And
Very rough.
It was terrible. But the main point of us going was to spend some time with Dr. Richard Mao, former president at Fuller Theological Seminary. He's retired. And it was just a wonderful chance for us to kind of sit at the feet of the master and think really deeply about what it means to be Christian scholars and what we're trying to be on about in this reformed education endeavor. And that was wonderful for my head and then for my heart too, just spending time with friends and colleagues and we get to just live in community for 5 days together and and good for my body and soul too, just seeing some California sunshine and hiking and walking on the beach. Such good food.
What was your best meal?
Oh, my word.
We had a couple really good ones. The dumplings at that Chinese place were amazing.
That was amazing.
The sushi night.
We went out with a large group for some fresh sushi. That was just, I can hardly even talk about it without getting emotional.
It was so good. One day we went for a hike around Malibu, which is beautiful up on the bluffs and on the rocks. And then we found this seafood place that one of our friends had recommended to us. And it was just the best. It was so good. So, all around great. Good for my heart. Good for my heart, soul, mind, and strength. It was what I needed.
And it was interesting, too. Like, we had a... There was 10 of us, so it wasn't a small group, and we had rented a 15-passenger van so we could go everywhere together. It just reminded me a bit of being middle school, high school, like in a really good way. Like how positive, like you're just in this place together. You're stuck in LA traffic. Dave and I often sat near the front. I drove. Dave was the navigator because he lived in California. I just took delight in listening to our friends in the back, the joke. I don't know. There was just a playfulness to it as well. And so
it was great.
We learned a lot. We played a lot. We ate a lot. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time. How about you, Abby? Restful,
if I can ask? It was, we actually did personal travel instead of related to school.
That's good, though.
Yeah, it was. And it was the first time that Jason and I could, if I am remembering correctly, I don't think we've left our three kids for longer than a long weekend since I was pregnant with my third. So that would have been 8, 9 years ago. And so my niece, who was incredibly capable, she's a teacher locally, and she stayed with my kids at my house.
Perfect.
And we did an adults trip with really good friends, and it was just restful and lovely and also full of good food. I ate the best ceviche of my life. Fresh from the ocean that day.
Good.
It was just, it was incredible. We will be going back there. Had just incredible meals. Saw great wildlife. It was humpback season. And so we saw like a mom and a baby. Every day from our balcony, we saw whales jumping. And then we got out really close to to a couple. It was just hiking. Yeah. Beach. Awesome. It was nice.
I'm glad for all of us that there is a time to step away, even physically. Just it's just good to rest.
It's good to have a change of pace.
Good to rest, for sure. Dave, I know you had a topic in mind today, so maybe I'm wondering if you can share a little bit or introduce it and maybe even give some context
for it. So my real question is framed around one of the... So we have a couple different master's programs at Dort, and the program I teach the most in is what we call teacher leadership. And originally, this was our original master's program that we offered at Dort. It was a curriculum and instruction program, and I don't know, 15 years ago, we changed the naming of it, and we call it teacher leadership now instead of calling it curriculum and instruction. And I had an interaction with one of my grad students in the class I'm teaching this semester. It's a course in teacher leadership, but it happens to be a technology course. It's taken by a lot of different folks. But it just prompted a really good conversation around the idea of teacher leadership. And I guess that really is my question. When we talk about teacher leadership, now we are thinking maybe of a particular program here at Dort, but broadly speaking, what is teacher leadership? And how do teachers function as leaders in their school? That's really my question today. I'd like us to think about.
Yeah, when you asked that question, I originally thought about when I started teaching. So I thought about who were the people I aspired initially to be like, who did I see as teachers? And it was interesting because when I started teaching, I think I was almost drawn more to the people I saw as agitators they were just sort of asked hard questions. And after a while, I began to see that was actually more negative leadership. Like they weren't really on board, but it was just, they were pretty vocal.
They weren't offering other solutions. They weren't offering other solutions. And I think in hindsight, even now,
I've said this to young teachers, like trying to almost like get me on their side. So I associated teacher leadership with asking, you know, critical or negative questions and being vocal.
Yeah.
And I've, like, I can share more later on what I think it is, but I learned what it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But at first, when you're starting teaching, you're just like, you just want to be accepted and drawn in.
Or the loudest voice in the room.
Yeah. Totally, right? And you just want to be part of that. And so I'm starting by maybe talking about what I thought it was and I don't think it is, but that was sort of my first interaction with what I perceived as teacher leadership. Yeah. How about you, Abby?
Well, one of the things that I appreciate about the state of Iowa is they actually have a teacher leadership compensation structure in the state where teachers have, they've recognized, the state of Iowa has recognized in public institutions that not everybody wants to be a principal.
Right.
And that they should also have career arcs for advancement in a teacher position. And so they can have a different salary structure and instructional leadership in the classroom. And I also recognize that it's an imperfect system.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And so when you create an instructional coach, but you have a teacher shortage, well, what do you think is going to happen to that instructional coach? Yeah. Right. They're going to get pulled back into the classroom. But I do appreciate the effort systematically to provide teacher leadership and saying, hey, this is not a person who's evaluating you, but someone who's coming alongside you in a classroom. So there's like district instructional coaching positions or like master teachers who spend part of their time mentoring in very intentional ways or visiting other classrooms. Or that's, I think, the picture that I have in my head of it being done well. That's teacher leadership, right? It's not only being an excellent instructor inside your own room, but also disseminating and sharing those practices in your building, at seminars, at conferences, that kind of thing.
Following up on that, I know in some different states they use different terminology. It depends where you are. Some states talk about teachers on special assignment. So it's the same kind of an idea as that, but what is a special assignment? Well, you might be serving as a curriculum director for your school, and that's not really in the administrative column, it's more like, you know, you're coming at this as a teacher. Mm-hmm. That's your expertise, but you're serving. Or a technology integration specialist, right? Like that'd be a teacher on special assignment where you, at least for a season, if not longer term, that's kind of your focus. You come at it as a teacher, not as an administrator. And I like that. I like that as a way of thinking about it. And as you're saying, Abby, it kind of taps into this idea oftentimes. Well, in our last episode, when we were talking with Chad Dirksy about compensation structures, how often do we end up steering people out of teaching, really good teachers, steering them out of teaching because they're looking and saying, well, I'm going to get paid a whole lot more if I'm an administrator.
Or if I want – more, I have to be a principal.
Right.
And I don't want to be a principal. That was me. I want nothing to do with being a principal.
Sure. Yep.
But there are other avenues, right, to use my gifts in leadership that that aren't that job.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess I'm thinking about it too. So I really like the idea of instructional coaching, right? As someone who loves sports, I think, hey, what's the goal of coaching, right? It's to help people improve their game. And there's a lot of practice, and the practice happens a lot of times when no one's looking. And then you have these games that's more in the public eye, which is like, but there's a lot of like happening behind the scenes, and you're always walking alongside these athletes or these teachers. So I even really like, the language of it's like being a coach, right? Like this idea of, I think about it as someone who's done coach sports. I was like, yeah, I'm going to walk along and try to help improve performance.
Well, and to that point, I think this is really important. I've said this before about instructional coaches. Like even Olympic level athletes have coaches. Yeah. It doesn't mean like because you have a coach, like you're in risk of failure as a teacher or something. Not that at all. Like everybody needs an outside set of eyes who can give you professional feedback on, so you're honing your craft. If you want to keep getting better, we need some coaching.
And I also like the idea of people shifting those roles, right? I don't think one person has to always be the coach. I think I can be an instructional coach for you in your classroom one day, and you can be an instructional coach for me in my classroom another day, right? So how can we coach each other as an institution? That's why I really like PD days that are led in-house.
Yeah.
So this teacher is really good at blank. Lead a session on it. So we're going to bring in, we're going to have, you know, you can sign up for things. We have in-house specialists on all these things. Share your knowledge with each other.
I remember I was actually at a conference. I was living back in Canada, and I was at a conference at Dort, and Mary Coy from the University of Toronto was speaking.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember one of her lines was something like one of the most important jobs of a leader is to hold teachers responsible for the knowledge and skills that they have. Like to you, and I really,
oh, that's good.
Boy, that really resonated with me in terms of like, boy, there is so much knowledge within any staff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how do you, and I think a lot of times, teachers are hesitant to share. It's like, it's hard to be a prophet in your own land. Like I get that. So how do you create a culture, right? And Dave, you've mentioned before talking about the difference between congenial and collegial.
Yeah, right.
Right? And I think when you have this collegial culture, right, of like, hey, like I'm responsible for the success of others, and one way I can help them succeed is by sharing, whether it's a protocol, whether it's how you design a lesson, around pedagogy. And so I just think, hey, like as school leaders who are listening, I just think, look inside, like you'd be surprised and to create that culture. But I also think about teacher leader, like it can be a role, but I also think about just who are the teacher leaders on the faculty that I worked with, right? And sometimes it wasn't an official role, but it was these teachers who were seen as leaders just because you could feel they took ownership of the culture. They led within their classroom, but they also led in the hallway. They led in the staff room. And sometimes it wasn't even always vocal. They just had this quiet, faithful presence. So even as I think about the phrase teacher leadership, right, is like how do you provide or empower teachers to lead within a school, whether they have a title or not?
Have you ever read that piece called Find Your Marigold?
No.
We'll have to link it. Have you read it?
I think I have. Is this from Cult of Pedagogy, am I remembering?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's a piece she wrote for new teachers that basically says, like, find the people in your building who will empower you. Marigolds are good companion plants.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they will allow other plants to flourish. And so it's
this is good. This
And then it's also what to stay away from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. So this relates to my story at the beginning, right? Is like what I thought the marigolds were.
And all of these, and all of these archetypes, right?
Yeah.
Like,
ooh, that's so
complains
interesting.
About the principal Dan and that
that's
kind
right.
of stuff.
I have read this piece. Now that you're saying it, I definitely.
Yeah, I've shared it with my students before. Yeah. Like, it's good advice.
That's such an important piece of it, though. And picking up on both what you were saying, Matt, and this idea, like, sometimes I have in my mind that to be a leader means you have to have a title and. Mm-hmm. as we're talking here, I'm thinking about the important, like, no, not every person in the school has the capacity to lead in some way.
If you have
right?
people following you, you're a leader, whatever
right.
that is.
Right. And okay, so at least your students, right? Every teacher is a leader in that sense, right? We're leading the learning that's happening. But I think that there's that kind of informal influence. I won't say power. I was going to say power, but influence that you have on the people right around you. There's a sense of leadership, I think, that every teacher has to embody then, right? Like, even if you're part of a grade level team, you have some kind of an influence on the people in your team or a curriculum team or whatever part on, right? You're going to influence the people around you. So to think about what kind of influence you're going to be, I think it's worth considering that, like what kind of positives and negatives there are for your attitude.
And as I think about it, right, like I think being a teacher leader doesn't mean you have to be loud, and it doesn't actually mean you always have, like, you know, like toxic positivity is a thing,
yes.
right? It's like everything that comes out there I support, and it's the best, and I'm going to do it.
Basically my personality.
Friends, truer words have never been spoken on this podcast. So it is a moment of silence.
See, Matt's face would have said that just now.
I can't even look her in the eye.
I'm the biggest cheerleader.
Yeah. 100%. She greets us on Monday mornings in the parking lot with palm pom. It's unbelievable. No, but it, but so there good. Is a... But it's a good example, actually, Abby. Like, I'm pretty new here in the last few years, right? And I mean this genuinely. Like, you are a leader, right? But you lead by your presence. You lead by your thoughtfulness. You're not afraid to ask hard questions. Like,
totally.
And there's a difference, right, between like critical questions. And by critical questions, I mean critically important questions. Mm-hmm. And I think critical questions which invite us to think critically about our decisions. And I think you have to have that. And part of, I think, what makes someone like you and others like you that I've worked with is that you're asking those questions for the sake of the institution, for the sake of the teachers, for the sake of the students, like sort of that idea. And that's how trust is built, actually, right? Like, it's not a, like, if you didn't care about this place, you wouldn't ask the question. You wouldn't ask the question, right? Or you're just asking the question to be a thorn in someone's side, right? And so I think part of being a leader, like, even as you lead, even though you don't want to be a principal, and others like that I know who are similar to you, is that you simply lead with integrity by being, like, asking good questions, lead with integrity and wanting the best for others. Yeah. So leadership does look like...
It does. And I will say, too, when I was here early, I have to give credit to our friend Tim as well. I have a distinct memory of us discussing something. And I was pretty quiet for the first year, 2 years.
Yeah.
That I was here.
So like me.
Exactly.
We had to draw it out of her.
Yeah. And I distinctly remember at one point, Tim turning and looking at me right in the eyes and asking me, after everyone was done speaking, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Wow. And like, so that's an element of leadership too.
Yeah.
Of being able to draw out of people, right?
To
and helping
them
find
voice.
Their own voice and that. Trust-building experience, too. It is.
No, and I do think, like, even that example you just used from Tim, right? It's a nod to a faculty member. What you have to say is important.
Right.
And I do think this does become the part of leadership where you're tapping people on the shoulder, right? Just like as a teacher, we need to be noticing gifts in our students and not withholding that from them. And we're like, hey, I notice this about you. Mm-hmm. Like, whether it's a gift of singing, whether it's a gift of athletics, of math, whether it's a gift of compassion or justice, like to say to them so that they know what others see in them.
And even naming that.
And that's what I mean, and naming that.
Yeah.
But I think it's also the job then of principals to name that for their faculty, for their just like Tim saying to you, right? Like you have something to offer this group. I'm curious what you think about this, and I see that in a K-12, right? Like you do a really good job with protocols at our Friday professional development time. Could you do a half an hour session on that? I notice you're really thoughtful about assessment, Dave. Can you do a 30-minute session in next month on this? And to tap people, because I think that's also, I do think part of the job of school leadership is to raise up leaders.
Right.
One way we raise up leaders is by giving them opportunities to lead.
And recognizing that we're not experts in everything.
Yeah.
And giving other people the opportunity to speak into that.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes that just means for us getting out of the way, too, mm-hmm. right? And I'm pointing the finger at myself here, right? How often is that the case? I'm like, oh, I don't want to give up this opportunity for this thing. Mm-hmm. No, there are things that I should not be doing, mm-hmm. and to make sure to point that out for other people. Well, I don't have the time or the ability to do this, but this person does, right? And to direct people that way. That's also leading.
It is.
For sure. I was also just thinking, you were talking earlier about systems, Abby, and just even thinking, how might we provide, and you talked about this idea of, hey, we're coaching each other, right? And and so how might school leaders give the gift of time to their teachers to visit, others and give non-evaluative feedback, kind, specific, helpful feedback? How do we give our teachers time to go visit teachers in other schools even to see how other people do those things? I just think there's ways within the system. If we can't afford or have the resources for an instructional coach, that doesn't mean coaching can't happen, right?
Right.
To think creatively about that. So, one of the questions I had that I wrote down is what are some of the characteristics of someone who's a teacher leader that you would say, if there's school leaders listening, to say, hey, these are some things that you might be looking out for in terms of even identifying teacher leaders.
That's a great question.
Yeah, some characteristics of teacher leaders. What are some words that come to mind or ideas?
As you ask that question, I'm thinking about it in terms of if you guys are familiar with diffusion of innovations theory, how do ideas spread through culture, right? And it applies, if you ever read the book, Diffusion of Innovations, Everett Rogers, it's really, really good, but it applies to all kinds of different situations, but it definitely applies in school. So a lot of times I think people have in mind, when you hear leader, you're thinking someone who's super innovative and they're right out there on the bleeding edge. Mm-hmm. And that can be a way of leading. Yeah. But this is one of the things, actually the context of this question that I brought it up came in a discussion that we were having around this idea of leading in technology. Mm-hmm. And my point to my students was, those innovators who are out there on the bleeding edge, they might make big, bold moves, but oftentimes they're making terrible moves, right? They might have great ideas, but it's actually the group that comes right after them in Diffusion of Innovations. They're the early adopters, the evangelists, right? They're looking at these things that these bleeding edge innovators are doing and saying, that's a terrible idea. We're not doing that. That's a great idea. We're doing that. Yeah. And so to try to find ways to get people to function as those early adopters, to notice what's happening around them, and then become that follower for that leading edge. Yeah. And that's a great way of actually leading, by following well. You need a first follower if you're going to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Abby? Thoughts of characteristics of teacher leaders?
Yeah, I think just really thoughtful and effective practitioners, right? Creative, able to articulate able to be effective in the classroom, but also able to articulate the moves that they're making.
Yes.
And what's making them effective, and being intentional about those moves.
Kind of that metacognition piece about, so not just what am I doing it, but why am I doing it this way, and being able to point that out for colleagues too.
I thought of the word adaptable, this idea of adaptable, of I know in my own teaching practice, I could really, this is the way I'm going to do it. This is the way I've done it. I know I have different needs in the classroom, but they need to meet me where I'm at instead of meeting where they're at. And I just think this idea of, I know growth mindset can be cliche, but just this idea of I can be open to trying something different. Mm-hmm. I can be open to trying something new, right? And I just think about that even as a principal, knowing who those people were on staff and just saying, hey, would you be willing to try that, right?
Yeah.
And it's not because they always loved it. It's because they were open to it, right? And I wasn't even always looking for a yes, or I was just like, hey, can we partner in this new idea? I think about when we did Teaching for Transformation at our school, right? This idea of who are the early adopters, right? Mm-hmm. And again, you don't want just the people who say yes, and they hey, you even want some people who think critically on there, right?
To
point out some of the gaps. But just this idea of people who have a posture of of, yeah, me, like, I'm open to that. I'm open to thinking new. I have one other question for the two of you. Like, there might be teachers who are listening who are interested in developing as a teacher leader. Maybe they're newer, or maybe, hey, they're waiting for someone to tap them on the shoulder and they're wondering why that doesn't happen. What advice would you give to someone who's like, hey, I want to develop as a teacher, you know, as a teacher leader among our faculty? We don't have a coaching position, but I still want to take a greater role. What advice would you give a teacher who wants to sort of develop in that way?
I think learning yourself, being a learner, is probably the most important.
I would really agree with that.
Step. What it doesn't have to be a formal program, master's program, although that's been a huge catalyst for my own professional growth. Same. I feel like every time I've done further education, I realize that's not realistic for everyone. But even then, focusing on what conference can I go to for 2 days? And then really intentionally integrate some of those things and keep track of how that affects my students, or what can I read that I can then use in my classroom in intentional ways, right? So like growing your practice, I think, is a great first step by being a learner.
I'll piggyback on that one, because I'm thinking about it in terms of developing expertise in something, right? So learning, all that. But this would be a really interesting thing, right? Like within a faculty, if you've got a couple people who are willing to kind of become, hey, I'm going to be the go-to person on our faculty for assessment or for protocols or like whatever our particular topic is, and like you will become a leader because your colleagues will start to notice like, hey, this is the person who has a lot to say about this topic, and so I'm going to reach out to them when I have questions about, like, by default you're going to become a leader because of your expertise.
I remember talking to a school leader about that who tried to always do that at least in pairs. This idea of like, hey, I'm not the only one carrying the torch around restorative practices or assessment, like, if again not always possible, but I really like that idea of hey, can we, you know, like, so that you have someone to bounce these ideas off, right? Because I love that idea of becoming the expert, and then I love the idea of like, okay, so how are you going to help us grow in this area as a faculty, right? Like, teach us new things and lead in that way.
That's great.
Friends, we know your time is valuable, and we want to thank you for joining us today for another Hallway Conversation. Whether this day, this week, or this month, we hope the Lord gives you what you stand in need of, and we'd like to send you from here with this blessing. So to our listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace and give you peace and give you peace. Amen. Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you have a good week.
This podcast was literally dreamed up during one of our actual Hallway Conversations. Our music is by Ethan Mulder. Hallway Conversations is created and produced by Matt Beamers, Abby DeGroat, and Dave Mulder. Hey, we have a favor to ask of you. Would you be willing to rate this podcast or write a review in your podcast app? Or if you found this conversation interesting or helpful, would you consider sharing it on your social media? Those things really do help podcasters out, and we would be so, so grateful. Thanks for listening, friends.
But I'm sorry, I'm just laughing.
What a situation.
Yeah, I know. It's like, man.
Sometimes you just think on the fly and things come together.
Yeah, no. That's good, though.
Yeah.